This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So a recent headline that came out, and there's been a lot of headlines, but one that a lot of people found very, very disturbing and have asked me about is this one female doctor who was a resident, had not finished her residency. I believe she was an intern, had gotten caught on social media posting tweets, one of which I believe was in medical school when she was learning about immune cells, and she had written something about those who support Israel should have their immune cells killed so they know what it feels like. I can't quote it entirely, to be attacked by foreigners or something like that. She also wrote about how she can't wait to prescribe drugs, because then she could give the Jews bad drugs. And, I don't think any of that is funny at all. I think it's very, very disturbing. And apparently so did her residency. So she got kicked out of her residency, was able to apply to another residency, without them knowing why, and apparently she's been accused of falsifying her application. They find out it had to do with the tweets and alleged racism, and from what we understand, as of this week, she lost her ability to practice medicine because of her attitudes towards a group of people that could be her future patients. And I've been asked, every time there's a story of somebody raping their patients or using ketamine to put them to sleep and have sex with them, or, alleged, assault, how do these people get through medical school? How does somebody who isn't willing to put their life on the line for their patients, getting through all those years, all those studies, getting out, and then being able to be either a predator or to be very open about their biases towards and against people? And, medical schools are kind of, they weed out as much as they can, but their job is to weed out more academic issues in trying to become a doctor. During an interview may only last 15 to 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, they can't do a whole psychoanalysis. They can't, figure out if you're going to be somebody who's going to be a future predator or somebody who is going to joke around or actually plan on hurting people, once you get out of practice. There might be some telltale signs, but for the most part, a medical student that applies is scared. They're very humble. They'll answer very short, terse questions. And, the decision makers look at their sport years, their scores, and they look at what they've done with community service, and they'll go, okay, fine, we'll take you. Other schools, as students progress, might have a very, very good department that is very open to issues that other students might bring up. So I've heard of cases where students said, look, there's something wrong with this person. Something's not right. They can't keep getting ignored. And then finally something has to happen. And then that, sometimes during medical school, the stress of it might bring out a personality that might not be very conducive to somebody who's supposed to be, non-judgmental and in healthcare. But for the most part, we really don't see that much of a screening method. The screening method that's been in play has been, you're probably not going to make it. I mean, if you have any other goal than to want to help people, it's really hard to get through the shifts. It's really hard to get through the call. It's really hard to get through all the work. So people have always asked, what biases are there? If there's a pretty patient, do the doctors choose the pretty patient over the non-pretty patient? I doubt that, because usually, when the nurse says, next patient, go in, they can't really stop and go, are they spending more time with somebody that they might find more attractive? I don't know. Nobody's really really been testing that or looking at that. In terms of inadvertent bias, I believe there are biases that happen, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, when it comes to like people requesting pain medication. You know, when a doctor has probably 10,000 times been given stories like my medicine has been stolen or my dog ate it or fell in the toilet, when somebody comes in saying I need more pain medication, unfortunately, that sort of, memory comes back and they might put up a wall. Whereas I was trained a lot, you know, being a Generation Xer, being trained in the 90s, you know, we had a different attitude towards pain where, you know, if somebody needs pain medication, all right, don't just assume they have an addiction. They might actually have a source of pain. So when I had just graduated and I was working at an urgent care, and I told you guys a story where the other doctors didn't want to see this one patient. And they said, oh, you know, he's back here asking for more pain medicine. Let the new doctor go have a crack at it. And I'm like, oh, heck yeah, fine. You know, because I was all excited. And it was my, like, you know, first week of, you know, being on my own out of school. So I was really excited. And it was a guy who fell off a motorcycle, had a motorcycle accident, and said, look, I don't want the pain medicine. I don't. It's just I'm in pain. I need help. And anybody that, you know, sustained broken ribs, which I believe he had, you know, needs to be ruled out for pneumonia. We need to make sure there's nothing going on in the lung. Well, I couldn't hear a lot of lung sounds. And I said, do you mind if I re-x-ray you? Because I'm wondering if what's going on is something in your lung, and that's why you need so much pain. Well, it turned out he had a huge effusion, a whole bunch of fluid in his lungs. We sent him to the trauma center, and it turned out that he had been bleeding for about 3 weeks into his lung cavity. So he was not a quote-unquote drug seeker or somebody wanting narcotics. He was somebody that really had pathology, was really in pain. And so those of us doctors that are very well versed on every patient in front of you is not going to be like the one before it or the one before it. Everybody's different. You know, you have to take a look at them as if it's the first patient you've ever seen in your life. So when you do that, you could avoid some of the biases. But unfortunately, you do have people that out there that, you know, have been so, you know, conditioned, you know, to all the, you know, sort of, I guess, excuses that it does harden them sometimes. And so, you know, bias in healthcare, and I don't like to use that word bias because, you know, it seems to kind of encompass racism and encompass all that, but there are different types of biases that I think are very prevalent in medicine, and I think students need to be taught how to fight that within themselves. For example, if you have a woman with abdominal pain, first thing everybody thinks about is their vagina or uterus or whatever, and you know there are other body parts, and so these are kinds of things that we get conditioned to that we need to change. Are we going to be able to stop racism and people wanting to give medicines to, you know, people to hurt them? I don't know. Those people should have never gotten through medical school, but that's on the medical school to make sure those people, you know, get filtered out before. 1-877-DR-SALLY. Don't go away.
This report is sponsored by Eli Lilly and Company. Eli Lilly and Company is committed to supporting those living with diabetes and recognizes the importance of having access to insulin. In response to the COVID-19 crisis, Lilly has expanded its insulin access options for those needing extra help. If you have commercial insurance or no insurance, the Lilly Insulin Value Program allows you to fill your monthly prescription of Lilly insulin for $35. Additionally, for individuals enrolled in government insurance programs, such as Medicare Part D, Lilly has made 3 insulin options available at half the list price. All of these resources are available through the Lilly Diabetes Solution Center. If you need support or would like additional information, please visit insulinaffordability.com or call the Lilly Diabetes Solution Center at 833-808-1234. Representatives can help determine whether the Lilly Insulin Value Program, an insulin with a lower list price, or another option is the best financial choice. Terms, conditions, and limitations apply.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You're back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. So, you know, I love the memes and I love, you know, the flattery that, you know, all of us physicians and nurses and healthcare workers have been getting as, you know, being told, you know, whether we're the heroes of the COVID crisis. But I have to say, the true heroes, the ones that are actually on the front line, are the ones who manage the patients in critical care in ICU. And they are the ones giving us the most insight. And honestly, the group of individuals who I listen to most beyond anybody else. And so I'm very, very honored to have Dr. Benjamin Singer, pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, here to join us today to kind of talk to us about what he thinks we should be prepared for when it comes to flu and COVID. Dr. Singer, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
And God bless you for everything you and your team have done. I know it's been a real, real rough season. So tell us, what have you been seeing, you know, throughout this crisis? And, you know, and I know that's a long answer in a short amount of time, but, you know, share with us what your experiences have been.
Sure. So I'm out of Chicago, and as you may know, Chicago had a fairly large surge over the late spring and into the early summer, and we've seen that wane quite a bit, and our state in Illinois is starting to come back up in terms of numbers of cases, but fortunately we haven't seen the huge amount of severe illness, the large numbers of critically ill patients that we saw earlier in the pandemic. So it's really changed a lot of things in terms of how we manage our ICUs, in terms of staffing and the space available, and, you know, making sure that our ventilator and PPE supplies are all adequate. It's really a new world in the COVID era.
Absolutely. You know, I've been talking to our listeners about, you know, some of the regimens the critical care patients have been getting, including remdesivir, steroids, blood thinners, oxygen, vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C. Has the regimen, did you originally, you know, start with hydroxychloroquine and have to drop it, or was the regimen pretty much, hasn't been evolving too much since this whole started?
Yeah, no, that's a really important point to talk about. So our view has been that this is a viral pneumonia, and, you know, we have a lot of experience with viral pneumonia causing critical illness from influenza and other types of viruses. And so without specific evidence that another therapy, and you mentioned hydroxychloroquine, would be beneficial, we did not routinely use it in our ICU, and I'm very glad that we didn't, because it turns out to be ineffective and possibly harmful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now we have data about proper use of an antiviral. You mentioned remdesivir, the proper use of identifying people who might benefit from steroids. And these are all data that are coming along to help us provide better care for our patients. But really the core of what we do for our patients is what we consider just standard critical care, meaning supporting people's bodies as they heal. And these things that we add, like the antiviral or the steroids, just help that much more.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're talking to Dr. Benjamin Singer, pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. So these patients that end up becoming severe and going into the ICU would be cared for by his team or his specialist. So, flu's coming, and there's been a lot of predictions, some optimism, some pessimism on what would a COVID flu season look like. What is your take on it?
Yeah, so it's important to remember that influenza causes an epidemic every year. So even in an average flu season, we can expect hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations because of influenza, and unfortunately, estimates tens of thousands of deaths. And that's just an average season. And so when you think about that with COVID on top of it, that's why we're concerned. There are a lot of factors, though, that play into the severity of the influenza season. Of course, one is just how the virus is transmitted, and interestingly, it's transmitted in a manner that's very similar to COVID. So it's these droplets that come out of our nose, mouth, when we sneeze or talk, cough, laugh. And so wearing masks, physical distancing, hand washing, the things that we've been hearing about for COVID, should also be effective in decreasing the spread of influenza and hopefully creating more of a mild season. And there's some evidence of that from the Southern Hemisphere, who are in their winter and having their flu season now. Another really, really important factor is how many people get the flu vaccine. So the flu vaccine is remarkably safe. It is universally recommended for adults with very, very few exceptions. As much as we can do to try to get as many people as possible to get the flu shot to help prevent the spread of flu, and in the cases where people get flu after getting the shot, it makes it so much more mild and much less likely to need to be in the ER or the hospital or, heaven forbid, even the ICU. So a lot to think about there, but the headlines are really, continue with the social distancing, continue with the masks, and get your flu shot.
Absolutely, absolutely. So true. You know, number of flu deaths in America can range anywhere from 20 to 80,000. It differs by the year. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. Have you heard any of the numbers of U.S. flu death case or were, you know, for this last season? Have you been told any of the numbers yet?
Yeah, right. So last year was kind of a moderate season. So, you know, kind of on the medium to low end of some of the ranges that you gave. You know, it's interesting that the COVID-19 pandemic really ramped up in what would have traditionally been the very tail end of our flu season. Mm-hmm. And so we never really got an experience where both viruses were circulating at high levels like we anticipate them to be as we go into the winter months of 2020 and 2021.
You bring up a very good point. We seem to peak with coronavirus. I know it was blurred, and we weren't sure January, February, if it was flu or COVID, but we really saw our COVID peak in the spring, and that starts to coincide with the either the second wave of like an influenza B or the first wave of flu starting to die down. And you bring up a very good point, because a lot of people talk about how we had a coincidental double hitter, but it actually did, there was a different time curve.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, right as the COVID surge started happening, we saw flu pretty much just disappear. And that could have been due to some of the lockdowns and, you know, enhanced social distancing measures, or it could have been what we would expect. So that, you know, second, third week of March is really the beginning of the end for flu in an average year.
Absolutely. You know, how much success did you see with flipping patients prone onto their stomach to help increase the oxygenation and part of the lung tissue for oxygenation?
Yeah, it seems kind of like a strange thing. And, you know, when we talk to patients about what we're going to do and talk to their families about what we're going to do, really it's just kind of like sleeping on your stomach. And it is a very, you know, well-understood benefit, particularly in patients who are on a mechanical ventilator who are very, very sick, to have them breathe on their stomach, sleep on their stomach rather than on their back. We often will encourage patients who are not on a mechanical ventilator, just breathing oxygen through a nasal cannula or through a mask, to do the same thing. We don't know how much benefit it has. Patients do tell me, though, they tend to feel better and they like doing it, and there doesn't seem to be any harm in doing it. So it's something that we'll often recommend for a lot of our patients who have the more severe forms of COVID.
Fantastic, fantastic. And hopefully we'll have then better gowns that end up being sewed up in the back as a result of demand now that more people see our backside. I thought it was fantastic when I heard that being done, the flip, and it, to me it makes sense, but you're right, we still don't have a lot of data. We have vulnerable populations that are always at high risk for flu, also high risk for COVID. In the last minute or so, what do you recommend in addition to flu vaccine that we do as a whole for these more vulnerable populations?
Yeah, you know, there's so much to that question that obviously will take more than a minute to do a lot of justice, because you know, so much of the disproportionate illness that we've seen in communities of color has very complex and deep-seated roots in our history of systemic racism and the things that we see in the headlines now every day, just magnified by the pandemic. And so it's my hope that we can begin as a society to start addressing a lot of these inequities to provide more equitable healthcare on a number of levels to disadvantaged populations so that we can all stay healthy and happy.
Amen. Amen. How can my listeners find more information, Dr. Singer?
Sure. I'll give you a couple of great websites. One is one that we run out of Northwestern Medicine here in Chicago. That's nm.org. And then the other is the website for our professional organization of pulmonary and critical care specialists. It's the American Thoracic Society. And the website is thoracic.org, thoracic.org. And there's great information for patients and families about COVID and flu and a number of other great topics.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is at FEMA headquarters getting it. President Trump is at FEMA headquarters getting an in-person briefing on Hurricane Laura. The president will also be speaking tonight at the Republican National Convention. Republican Senator from South Carolina Tim Scott tells CBS News what he'd like to hear from the president.
Well, I hope he starts with Kenosha and the hurricane. These are two major incidents or issues that are overwhelming good people throughout this country, and our focus and our attention is there.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says his state took a massive hit from Hurricane Laura.
I'm not going to bubble wrap it. We took it full in the face.
The Republican senator there speaking on Fox News says wind also from the storm was as bad as advertised. At least one person has died from the hurricane. This is USA Radio News. Negotiations restarting regarding a new stimulus relief bill. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows meeting with Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. It's been 20 days since the two last met. As working remotely ends for many employees, they may soon be faced with a decision. As we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
Employers might soon have to decide whether to require their workers to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. Public policy and legal experts have differing opinions. Some say companies concerned about liability, health, and safety issues are going to have to make vaccinations mandatory for their employees. Others say mandates could backfire. In light of a recent Gallup poll that shows more than 1 in 3 Americans say they wouldn't get a coronavirus vaccination even if it was free and approved by the FDA.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Maybe, maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're
all
just
right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dolly in the show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So many parents have not been liking this online virtual learning thing. They didn't like it in the spring, but they figured, well, you know, if everybody's going to be back home and that's the way it's going to be, you know, they're not going to fight it because apparently the summer was exhausting for this back and forth of kids going back to school or kids not going back to school, parents not knowing what to tell their employers. And so, you know, I think many parents before the school year started kind of subscribe to, okay, you know what, they've had all summer to work on it, you know, I'm sure it's going to be better than the spring, and hopefully it'll be temporary, and we'll move on. Well, apparently the first week or two, depending on what school district you live in, have been an absolute cluster from what we're hearing throughout the country, and parents are now questioning if they should be more passive or try to have a more assertive role when it comes to kids getting back to school. Now, I told you about, you know, in our situation, we had a choice with Catholic school of our child going back to school or doing online, and they had said that you needed to commit, you know, for the semester. If you were going to do online, you can't come back in classroom. You need to commit to that semester being home. Same thing with if you're going to come to school. If you're going to come to school, you can't be going back and forth. You're stuck. You're going to have to commit. So when I heard that, and I'm thinking, well, I got an older mom, you know, around, and I, you know, if there is an outbreak, and I, you know, I wanted to know that I had that flexibility to take my son in and out if I needed to. I'm like, you know what, then fine, we'll keep him out. You know, now, truth be told, if you are a parent and you need to take your child out because you are concerned about COVID, I'm sure you can. But the way it was originally kind of put out there, I was like, and I get it. Schools needed to plan in terms of staff, how many students will be there, how many won't. So I get how they needed to plan. So we chose to have our child do online, and it turns out more and more we're hearing parents are and multiple schools that had options, kind of keeping their kids home. Not that they're worried about the one or two isolated cases, but as we spoke before, if it becomes public knowledge in a headline that a school had an outbreak, and you work for a company, and that company hears, wait a second, okay, your child goes to that school, now you're exposed, it could, you know, ruin your career. So, you know, many parents are like, you know what, let's just have the kid in isolation, have the kid away from COVID so that we could at least still work. It's such a, you know, precarious position we're all in. CDC has made some new guideline changes. We talked about that yesterday. It was kind of quiet. Nobody really knew about them until somebody kind of looked at the site. And it said, look, if you're exposed to somebody with COVID and you don't have any symptoms, you don't necessarily have to get a test. Still watch yourself, but you don't necessarily have to get a test. You don't necessarily have to isolate. But if you have symptoms and you think you were exposed to a rip-roaring case, whatever, then use your best judgment. So you're going to have a lot of people go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I have no more PTO. I need to get back to work. Fine. Others are like, well, wait a second. So now we're going to have all these people that may be asymptomatic, may have COVID, go back to work and expose others. So it's a cluster. We've known this to be a cluster. But in the midst of all this, parents are kind of looking at the watch going, wait a second. Okay, you know, my kid's only going to be 10 years old for about another 2 months. Or my child's only going to be 3, right, for another 4 months. And there's certain learning that is advantageous to do in certain windows of their growth. What's going to happen to my kid? If my kid has been technically out of school for now almost 6 months, okay, we're going to be probably hitting roughly maybe the 6 month mark. What is that doing to their math? What is that doing to their English? What is that doing to their second language? What is that doing to their history? What is that doing to their retention of material? So I want to put some parents at ease, okay? When I grew up, my parents moved a lot, so I went to 12 schools. Which means every time I switched schools, I had that interruption of whatever I was learning with math, and they were different school districts, they were different states. So I got maybe really, really good in decimals, but I barely got fractions, you know, or I was really, really good at multiplication tables, but I didn't get a lot of division. So it was very very septated, and it wasn't an ideal flow. I still learned everything I had to. I still got a 1450 on my SAT, almost a near score in math. For some reason, it all cut, and that was 12 schools. If your child is in the same school district, I mean, you know, there is a very good chance that there's going to be catch up. Okay? I'm hoping kids aren't out of school for more than a year. I think that would be very detrimental. But coming up on the six-month mark, I think we're going to be okay. But what schools need to do, which and you know, bless the schools and all this, because it is no easy task with this whole COVID pandemic and now flu coming and, you know, worried about student security and, you know, parents calling all the time. It's got to be overwhelming. I get that. But what schools need to do is make sure they have, I don't know if they're doing standardized tests anymore. Like when I grew up, we had the CATs. I think they have the ERBs. You know, I'm not sure what standardized tests they have with kids. I don't hear about that a lot. But I think what they might need to do is as these kids are doing their online learning, they do have the tests administered somehow, either at home with mom or online. And when they see the, when they look at the data and they see the patterns of what kids are struggling with, then they could see, okay, wait a second, they're not picking up fractions on the, they're not picking up phonetics, they're not picking up grammar, you know. Reading comprehension is fine. They're reading it, the questions, they're good on that. And then they hopefully, with that cohort of students, will go, okay, when we do get back, you know, in the classroom, we're going to hit you guys hard here. It's a difficult task, but I'm sure they have the software. I know there's been issues with Canvas and things like that, but it's going to have to be the testing and maybe not even call it a test, even the homework. But parents are going to have to kind of be on board with this also, where, you know, don't help your kids with the homework. We really need to see what your kid is failing at so we know what we need to do and what we need to change. I think we could all agree that learning online is way different than learning in person. You know, some of my teachers who played games, you know, with the words and games with the phonetics and things like that really got us to learn. I thought the Electric Company was great. I thought Sesame Street was awesome. You know, there are different ways to engage students. And when teachers are thrown into an online curriculum or where they have online and in person and they're trying to give the information, they're trying to teach, they're trying to engage, and they don't really have that one-on-one contact and they can't even see the student, I mean, there's only so much they could do. So what I want to say is any parent that's concerned that their kid might fall behind, they're justified. It is a very valid concern. And, yes, we do have a concern that kids might fall behind. However, there is definite room, as long as they're not out of school for a very long extended period of time, there is room for them to catch up. All right? You know, for those of us with seniors, they weren't paying attention anyway. So I'm not too worried because the average high school student, you know, true, we want them to be able to do well in college. You know, if they do end up going to college, but most of they're not paying attention. They're kind of checking out everybody else and texting and Snapchatting and all that. But the younger ones, really, we will really need to have to analyze what they don't have, what they have, and what needs to be augmented. Because by the time things do go back, how are certain schools going to do on the SAT or the ACT or these college entrance exams? Are those college entrance exams going to be obsolete? Because you have such a disparity in how people were taught. I think tutoring businesses are probably going to be one of the biggest industries. If any of you guys are looking for a way to make money, you might want to get involved in a tutoring business or, you know, get yourself out there and you know, help teach, because I think parents need a lot of help. I think parents are also going to be looking for school mommies, where there's a neighborhood mom that will allow school to be in their classroom. So you have basically a teacher while the kids are doing online teaching, being there to engage them. So you'll have like satellite teachers or satellite mommies. I think that's going to expand. And I don't know if that's going to be a business where it's going to be kind of like a daycare or a school club. But it's interesting. There's going to be some industries, even though we have a recession that's going to hit us beyond our comprehension. I think there's going to be some new industries that are going to spawn from this. So, you know, if you think your child's going to need a tutor, you might want to get one. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We'll be right back.
show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, I haven't really been watching the conventions. I've been watching a lot of hockey, but I've been very, very concerned about the hurricanes. And so last night, I watched most of the coverage on Hurricane Laura. Unfortunately, there's already been three fatalities. Hurricane Laura kills three in Louisiana, including a 14-year-old girl when a tree fell on her home. Winds had gotten up to about 150 miles per hour, and Hurricane Laura did hit the coast as a 4, almost stronger than Hurricane Katrina. The difference between Laura and Katrina, we're hoping, is Katrina hovered and didn't move that much, that quickly away. Hurricane Laura is moving on north. And as it moves, it hopefully weakens. Currently, unfortunately, there's a lot of devastation in its path. More than 700,000 homes and businesses are currently without power in Texas and Louisiana as of Thursday morning. Keep in mind, not only is it summer, but it's muggy summer. You do not want to be living in Texas or Louisiana or the South at all, or probably anywhere in the country during this heat wave without having power. So we're talking no air conditioning, no cell phone service, no computers. You know, this is why we always recommend that you have a radio. You definitely need to, be able to kind of, at least with radio waves, and I know people are like, well, you're in radio because you're always, biased towards radio. Well, I'm a fan of radio because as long as you have a good working battery, you can still hopefully hear what the heck is going on out there. So, I like radio. I do. All right. Okay. There's my disclaimer. I like radio. Now, the hurricane, has already, like I said, killed three people. And in fact, right now, officials are telling people, if you hadn't evacuated and you are still in the areas and the path, you need to write your name on a piece of paper, put it in a Ziploc bag, and then put it in your pocket. Because if, God forbid, you do become flooded out or you become a victim, they need to be able to identify who you are. Let's say you have a wallet. Well, I have a wallet or a purse nearby. Looters might take it. So a plastic bag with your name in it might be the only way somebody's going to be able to identify you initially. Hurricane had made landfall at 1 a.m. with the strongest winds that Louisiana has seen since 1856. They say warnings that the storm would rip apart buildings, penetrate up to 200 miles inland. As of yesterday, they were saying that we would see damage up to 40 miles inland. Now they're saying 200 miles inland. And apparently the first fatality was a girl, 14 years old, in Leesville, Louisiana, and a tree had fallen on her house. I've been in a house when a tree fell on it. I lived in Arizona for some time, and there was a monsoon season. They get monsoon seasons, and a tree crashed onto the roof when I was feeding my baby brother with his bottle. My parents were gone, and I kind of took care of my brother. He was 16 years younger than me. So while he was a baby and the bottle, all of a sudden it was a crash, and luckily nothing happened to the foundation or the roof, but it was a big tree, and that it would have gotten both of us if the roof hadn't held up. So trees are pretty, I love trees, unfortunately trees near the house could be very dangerous. 2 hours later, two more fatalities were reported in Louisiana. One was a 6-year-old man who was killed when a tree fell on his home. Another man died when a tree fell on his home in Jackson Parish. Governor Edwards also warned Louisiana residents to stay inside until the threat of the storm is completely over. He said this is not the time to go sightseeing. The threat Laura poses to Louisiana is far from over. Stay home. Continue to heed warnings from local officials and monitor your local news to stay informed. Laura reached land near the small town of Cameron, around 30 miles from the Texas border, where officials went door to door pleading with people to flee the path of the storm. And, we've talked about this. Why aren't people leaving? One is they might not have any money and not know where to go. Two is they might be afraid that if they do leave, they can't come back. I hear people make fun of people that don't want to leave and then like, oh, they're idiots, blah, blah, blah. But I understand the psychology of it. I don't condone it. I would urge them to get the hell out, as with anybody else. But when you're in that situation, sometimes you think the safest spot for you is your own home. Kind of think about you being in this position where you don't have a lot of money, or you don't have any extra, money that you could spend on a hotel room for an indefinite amount of time. and you leave your house, what if you can't get back? Or what if they block the road and you're not allowed to get back? And you have food and you want to hunker down and you want to ride it out? You know, I understand why you have people that think like that, you know, and they think it's more dangerous for them to leave. And so their instinct is to stay. And if they have a higher level floor, you know, to go upstairs. The problem is second story, the storm surge was at about 20 feet. So if 1 foot is, if one story is about 10 feet, those who were at the 2 feet mark are not very safe. And I'm looking at drone footage of, Lake Charles, and it's devastating. You are seeing roofs blown off. So, the downstairs might have been protected somewhat, but because there's been high winds, 150 mile per hour winds, tornado activity, you're seeing roofs blown off. So sometimes you're not safe in the higher stories. In a statement, the Vermilion Parish Sheriff's Office in Louisiana warned that anyone choosing not to evacuate must understand that rescue efforts cannot and will not begin until after the storm surge has passed and it is safe to do so. So if you need saving, there might not be people there to save you. And, again, that's just a risk a lot of people took, and it's a shame. So you see, unfortunately, power lines. You don't want to touch those. You don't want to go near those. You see a building in Lake Charles with most of their windows blown out. I mean, this storm packs such a heavy punch. You know, also kind of depressing is I'm looking at these houses that were kind of destroyed by, you know, winds and all that. And their house, even with the destruction, looks less cluttered than mine. I think I really need to get the kids to start cleaning up after themselves. Because honestly, we have, you know, I look at these houses and there's wind and, you know, roofs blown in. And, you see clothes and you see papers, but not to the degree that I have. In our study, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Right currently, the center is moving north, about 20 miles north of Fort Polk, Louisiana. Damaging winds are hitting about 175 miles away. Again, it is a very, very large storm. Currently, because it's a Category 1, its winds are within the 74 mile per hour range. There was a fire. One of you had asked about a fire. Apparently, there was a chemical fire in the Westlake Moss Bluff sulfur area. Residents have been advised to shelter in place, close their doors and windows, as we don't know what that fire, that chemical fire entails. Once we do, we'll definitely keep you guys posted. So, this was a record hurricane in terms of the winds and the type of strength that came. We bring up Hurricane Katrina a lot because it had killed over 1,800 people, and it's kind of one of the most recent, most damaging ones, causing about $108 billion in damage. It wasn't the deadliest hurricane to hit U.S. soil. Deadliest was back in 1900 when there was no warning, and 10,000 people died in, around the Galveston area. But when we're in the midst of a hurricane, the aftermath is sometimes the most dangerous. So you don't want to get wet. You don't want to start getting trench foot. You don't want to be touching flood water thinking, oh, okay, well, you know what's from the ocean, so we're going to go swimming. I can wear a bathing suit. You don't understand that water is very, very dirty. It is mixed with chemicals. It is mixed with, plant life and unfortunately maybe dead animals. It's not like seawater, all right? You know, it is, or, you know, it's unfortunately dangerous. You also have electrical equipment around that could still be wet, standing near water. You know, if you are able to turn off your breaker safely, but avoid the flood water at all. Avoid being anywhere near power lines, as power lines can charge the water. And then take pictures and document any property damage or photographs, because an insurance company may need to assist you. 1-877-DOCTOR-ELLIE. Don't go away.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.